You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls his people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
What? I am so blessed to be here today.
Okay, I forgot to put a pause in there. That's why we heard Ann, who is not here right now, but this is David Francoeur. We are live in the studio here at WCNO, and we're about to open up the front line, and we're going to, in a moment, I'm going to introduce our guest for today. It's going to be exciting, wonderful, and a totally educational program, education we need, right? Not some of the stuff we don't need.
Amen.
And but first, and Ann is Ann Lomhoko is still away with her family, which we're glad she had a time to take a little break. Hiking in Canada, that's an endeavor.
Oh, boy.
I'm not sure. It's
starting to get cool up there.
Yes, it is. Well, that's where it starts, you know.
Yeah.
And they import it. Snow and ice comes right from there.
No, they closed the border.
Yeah, right. But I do have, as you heard in the background, my dear brother Ed Skiba. Good morning.
Good morning, David. Another beautiful South Florida morning.
Absolutely.
And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. And that's for Ann.
That's for Ann. Thank you. Hallelujah. How true that is.
I don't even have any wise remarks today. I'm excited about our guest.
Yeah.
I really want to hear about that. God gave us this beautiful nation.
Yes.
And, wow, we just don't understand. I don't know how many people have been on YouTube watching all of the foreigners, if you will, the folks from other countries, Europeans.
With the World Cup.
For the World Cup.
Yeah.
And the impressions that they're getting from this country.
Yeah.
They've been lied to for so many years about how rude and how backward we are and everything. And they're looking now and saying, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. They just can't believe what they've got here.
I've waded through several videos on YouTube. People from other nations.
Amen.
Speaking to the fact how wondrous, how great this nation is.
Yeah.
And yes, it points out on the sad side that not only are people in our own country lying about our nation, but they're doing it throughout the world.
Amen.
And I'm hoping that's going to be a turnaround, that God is moving in that regard. And the fact that, you know, Donald Trump, our president, pushed for the World Cup to be here.
Amen.
And now, whether he intended for this effect, God is using their being here to really begin showing the truth.
I like to think that he didn't care what the effect was. He was being obedient.
Right, absolutely.
Because I really think that this was God-inspired.
Yes.
And it's going to give us a new standing in the world.
Yes.
And a new focus, hopefully, on the spirituality that's so prevalent in our country as compared to Europe.
Amen. I totally agree with that.
I really hope I pray that that's what's going to happen.
Well, speaking of prayer,
amen.
Before I introduce our guest, I did have a request from a family member this morning to pray for another family member. And this is someone that had to be 911 the other day, having some issues. And so they're much better today, but their health issues still haven't stabilized. So we're praying for Debbie today, and this is my wife's sister's husband's sister. If you can follow the anyway,
twice removed,
maybe three times, depending on the economy. But anyway, Father, we lift Debbie up to you today. You know more than we do very acutely what her health situation is. It is precarious, and so we lift her up to you for your gracious healing grace to flow through her body today to bring not just restoration for this particular issue that got her to the hospital, Lord, but Lord, if you would move in such a way that her entire health picture would change for the better. You know you have plans for her. We're not going to tell you what they should be. We're simply lifting her up because we know, Father, that you are a great, loving, compassionate God and that you desire for your children to have healing. And so we lift Debbie up to you for that purpose. And while she's in the hospital, all the medical professionals and other related professions that are intersecting with her life right now, that they will be at the peak of their skill and dedication, Father, and that you would ensure as they come together in the unity of their professionalism and in their compassion, Father, that the riches of grace will be poured out through your Spirit and through their actions and ministrations for Debbie's healing. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I would like to introduce to you at this time someone who's not unfamiliar to our listeners, Dr. Brenda McMenamin. Brenda, good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be with y'all.
Oh, it's good to have you back. And just for our listeners to remind you, if you haven't heard from Brenda in a while, although you should have, she has a three-minute program, I think it's 3 minutes, on the Constitution, the United States Constitution, that is a rotating program, we call it. It's not fixed in time, but it rotates throughout the 24-hour schedule. And in that time, she shares little truthful snippets relative to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, everything to do with the founding of this nation and God's hand in it. And when we were thinking about today's program, you know, a few days from now is July 4th, and that's a very significant day for America and Americans. And I was ruminating on the fact that so many Americans, when they think of July 4th, they much rather think of the recipes for their barbecue and the beverages they're going to use to accompany it than the fact that we're celebrating the independence of this country from Britain and all of the stuff that went on for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the hand of God in the formation of America, we can see that hand going way back prior to the Declaration of Independence. In fact, there was a great movie that just came out, A Great Awakening, which had to do with George Whitefield and his coming to America and bringing not just the gospel, but a revival, actually the second Great Awakening.
Amen.
That he was a part of with some other significant ministers. But any rate, so I'm not I can't keep going here, Brenda, because I want to set the stage for what you're going to be sharing, but Brenda's going to really help us to see behind the scenes of July 4th, God's hand in it, what brought it about, why it's so important. And that's about all I can really say that I have any authority. Brenda, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the movie, A Great Awakening, because it shows George Whitefield, as Benjamin Franklin said, was the revolution. He brought people to the Lord with such power and conviction and brought them to repentance. And so that really was foundational to the independence that we yearned for, not to be independent from God, but to be dependent on God, to be able to be obedient to God, and to refute the king's unbiblical tyranny over them.
Amen.
And so we are a covenant people from the earliest beginnings in Jamestown, 1607. Robert Hunt declared that this land and ourselves to reach people within these shores with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to raise up godly generations after us. So he totally dedicated America to God. And then you have just several years later, Pastor John Robinson had been training the pilgrims and he taught them biblical principles of self and civil government so well that they could write the Mayflower Compact. It starts, in the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten have an undertaking for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. That's the whole reason they came to plant the colony. And so they're dedicating their work in the new land to God. Then you have just a few decades later with Reverend Thomas Hooker. So he was the one who started Connecticut. And he taught his men in 1638 based on Exodus 18:21 and Deuteronomy 1:13 to obtain yourselves men who are wise, discerning, and informed from your tribes, and I will appoint them as your heads. So those men, he didn't run for office, but he trained his men, and then those men in January of 1639 wrote the first state constitution, which was the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut. This is in the preamble. Just tell me what you think about this. I think this is amazing. So this is the early 1600s. For as much as it has pleased Almighty God by the wise disposition of his divine providence, so to order and dispose of things, the word of God requires that to maintain the peace and union of such a people, there should be an orderly and decent government established according to God to order and dispose of the affairs of the people, to maintain and preserve the liberty and purity of the gospel of our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Covenantal. They're all absolutely covenantal. These are leaders who trained their people how to reason from the Word of God, how to obey the Word of God, how to apply biblical principles to their self-government, their family government, their civil government, to obey and honor God. Mm. That's our heritage. And what's amazing is that just like the nation of Israel, you know how you read in Judges and they're doing great and they're like, oh God, we love you, we'll serve you forever.
Yeah.
And then in the next chapter, it says, the next generation knew not the Lord or his ways. And so you see that over and over again. It, you know, as Judges goes on, it just gets more bizarre. But we're the same way. So we have had such a biblical, glorious, covenantal understanding. And yet in the early 1800s, our history began to be rewritten. They took the responsibility of educating the next generation away from the home and the church and put it under the state. And so because those earlier generations didn't take a strong, fervent stand against unrighteousness, we've fallen further and further away from our heritage to the point where our history's been rewritten. We don't know the mighty deeds of God.
Amen.
And but you see a resurgence now, don't we?
We do. We Absolutely. Do. And one of the things that that I have early on came to recognize as I studied the Word of God, and I will say that what God did in creating America is very consistent with what God does, has done throughout time, and especially when we look into the Old Testament and we see God's creating a nation in Israel, for instance. When God starts something, he plans on keeping it going until he closes everything down in creation at the end.
Amen.
And God does not change. He's perfect. He was perfect. He has always has been perfect, being uncreated. And the things that he does, therefore, are perfect because of his perfection. So that means that when he starts something, there's no need for it to be modified down the road. There's no need for it to be changed to take advantage of current situations. And much like, or unlike myself, for instance, that I'll make plans today not having anticipated what comes tomorrow. And so I have to redo the plans. I'm going to speak of America now because that's where we are and this is the focal point of our program, but not only has the education system failed our people, and I'm going back several decades, I don't know when it all began, probably in the 60s, even the 50s, to slowly but steadily take out of the civics courses that were being provided in schools, and which the three of us here, Ed, myself, right, and you, Brenda,
right,
experienced while we were those youngsters going through that educational experience of learning about our nation and the founding of our nation, and even in public school at that point, admitting that God was involved in it. But now a whole different attitude exists among those of the younger ages, and is totally lacking in truth. I grieve over that.
Yeah.
And I bring that up because what Brenda is sharing with us is absolute truth. It points to God's involvement in America and God's investment and involvement, which should never have been edited out of what has been taught to our people throughout the generations.
Absolutely.
I'm making up. That's my soapbox, Brenda. Sorry, I had to go. I had to say that.
Amen. Ed, did you have something?
No, I'm just listening to what David's saying. You're right. We have nothing in this country anymore but relative truth.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have absolute truth. Everybody makes up their own version of the truth. And there's no stability to that whatsoever.
In a nation that does not know where it came from who got it going is doomed to destruction.
Well, that's,
however, there's hope.
That's,
and I believe during this program, you'll also hear that.
Oh, yeah. God's not done with us.
God's not done with us.
Amen. And I love the scripture, Psalm 78, that tells the older generation to teach the next generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he's done, that the next generation might come to know even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children. So there we've got two generations that haven't even been born that we as the older generation are supposed to be telling the mighty deeds of God to.
Yes.
So look how generational God is. And I think one of our worst enemies is, and I hope Jesus comes back tonight. Don't get me wrong.
I'm with you.
We've got to start thinking generationally.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, they should put their confidence in God and forget not the works of God, but keep his commandments.
Yeah. Amen.
And one of the things I've enjoyed from being a homeschooling mom and all of a sudden having to teach history to my children, I started digging out the original documents.
Uh-huh.
And it's so amazing to read the biographies, the autobiographies, the original documents of our founding, when they loved God so much, they had such virtue to read the Word of God and obey it. And they patterned their lives sacrificially for those yet unborn.
Amen.
And I think we've kind of lost that, but you gain it back at just being inspired by reading John Adams and Abigail Adams and Samuel Adams and Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Rush, you know, a lot of the ones we usually don't even hear about. You read their writing and it just brings you to the Lord in a deeper way than just by reading the Bible. So it's very inspiring. And I created a course called Authentic American History. That's at my website, teachinghisstory.com. So it's not teaching history, teachinghisstory.com. And you can look on the history page and find Authentic American History. So that's a high school course already recorded. I wrote the textbooks myself, which they're not written. They're just original documents, a compilation of original documents. And then they've got the videos to give the backstory. That is especially helpful to start out to recover what we've lost.
Now, is this course the one you're telling me about that it's geared to the high school students?
No, but it comes before it.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because really it helps to know what God did in America, which actually started with the martyrs. And the time when the Bible was being written in the common man's language in all the different countries in Europe. And then you get to see how they responded. But mainly, we focus on Europe because they were so instrumental in starting America. But when the common man began to read the Bible, he wanted to reform the church. And then they wanted to, those are the Puritans, they wanted to purify the church. Then they found out that the church didn't want to be purified.
Yeah.
And it was in no way a New Testament church. And so they separated out, and then the church would throw them in jail, or they'd fire the pastors if they actually tried to teach the Bible. And so they wound up having to escape, went to Holland, got trained by John Robinson. In that process, they became a covenantal people who lived by the word of God. And so Amen. It's so inspiring. And I think as we look at what we're facing now in America, we're in a very similar place mm-hmm. where we're getting persecuted in our culture if we're trying to live by the word of God, but there's nowhere to go. And I think as hard as that is, it's more inspiring because I believe God's with us, and I believe this is how he's moving providentially, that he is going to rescue America. I don't think it's going to be easy. I think it's going to get way harder before it gets easier. But I think it's mm-hmm. a better model for other countries that are in the same position where yeah, they can't necessarily go somewhere, but how can they follow the model of what God's doing yeah. and is going to be mm-hmm. doing in the next few decades in their country? And so I'm excited. And, you know, I get to teach a class called Renewing the Mind for Foundation for American Christian Education. I get to teach people across the nation how to think biblically, how to teach biblically. And I've had people from 20 different countries attending this class. It's online. Wow. So it's not just what God's doing here, but he is moving in other countries. Isn't that exciting?
Yes, that is. And, you know, you having said that, Brenda, I was not aware. I mean, I was sort of aware in the sense I had a sense that probably that was happening. But now you're, because of where you are and the position you're in, you get a chance to see and experience yeah. people that from all over the world that are curious and hungry and want to learn about all of this. And there's yeah. some of that hope we were talking about, because it's not, I mean, America, there's a part of all the where we're, God is restoring this nation that's going to happen within our borders, that you know Americans themselves have to come to grips with a truth that has that they have not embraced. They have not been encouraged to embrace, especially in the early years in education. But it's a truth that doesn't stop being true about God's plan for America and his call on all of us who are citizens to embrace his will and his plan for this nation, which continues. Again, as I'd said, when God starts something, it's going to run until he shuts the entire universe down.
Yep.
And so,
that's so good. Yep. And I think it helped, too, to start realizing that it's more than just today,
yes.
that it is over generations and decades and centuries that God is working all things for his glory
Amen.
So that we
Amen.
Know him and can enjoy him forever.
Yep.
And so when you look at the framers and the founding fathers starting in the 1730s with Reverend George Whitefield getting mm-hmm. them saved, but then having such a strong message of total repentance and a full gospel that their repentance is going to be in all spheres of their lives, then that's the generation that later fought the American Revolution so they could obey God.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing? And so one of the writings from Samuel Adams, when he was only 28 years old, so this is 1748, he says, "He therefore is the truest friend to liberty of his country, who tries most to promote its virtue, and who, so far as his power and influence extend, will not suffer a man to be chosen into any office of power and trust who is not a wise and virtuous man. We must not conclude merely upon a man's haranguing upon liberty and using the charming sound that he is fit to be trusted with the liberties of his country. The sum of all is, if we would most truly enjoy this gift of heaven, let us become a virtuous people."
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Isn't that
Amen.
Beautiful? And
that
so
is
he's
beautiful.
Talking about, Amen. You know, we each have to look at our sphere of influence and be righteous in our own life, not our own righteousness. But what does God say? So step one, as we're all dedicating ourselves to this, is we've got to read the word, don't we? That's
Amen.
Got
Absolutely.
To be.
Absolutely.
Amen. And this is
true.
This is just I'm going to call it an aside. It's linked to what you're saying, but it just struck me that when you think of that season, the 18th century in America, in the season prior to and, of course, during the revolution and even following, I would say that there were many more people who enjoyed a relationship with God that we call born again, and where we have that they've chosen Christ to be their Lord and Savior. They admitted, they followed the, if you will, the proper process this Holy Spirit sets up when it comes to relationship with God and Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. acknowledging Him as Lord and Savior, His resurrection, His ascension, and their relationship with Him. And that those, so there was a great chunk of people, whether they were lettered or not, whether educated in reading or not, but had the basic relationship with God that comes through the gift of the Spirit when they are born again.
Amen. Amen.
And with that comes a hunger for the Word that doesn't die.
Yep.
It comes a desire to serve God, to submit to Him. And in fact, when you talk about the founding fathers, Brenda, as I read their writings and as I study their lives, I see the strong undercurrent of submission to God that kept them in a relationship with God that enabled them to receive the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, so that when we read their the documents they wrote, many of which served as the foundation for the writing of the Declaration of Independence, mm-hmm. for the writing of the Constitution, and all that followed, is we see the fruit of faithful men and women who were listening to the Lord and speaking out of the wisdom He gave them. Now, a reason I spend some time on this is because today, the percentage of Americans that have that relationship with God is much, much less. Much, much less.
Absolutely.
And because of that, we have people, maybe even listeners today, that are saying, what y'all talking about? You know, I mean, where are you coming from? I haven't heard that, nor do I relate to it. Is that in part and parcel of what we're doing here today in this broadcast, apart from looking at God's work in the founding of America and all that that means and why we celebrate July 4th, but it's also should be a challenge to our listeners today to really reflect on their own relationship with God. And the reason I point this out is because, what did I say in the beginning? God created America, so mm-hmm. He's not going to be finished with His plan for us until He shuts down the whole universe.
Yeah, yeah.
So because of that, my encouragement, there's no judgment in this, but I hope that there is conviction. My encouragement to our listeners is if you're not sure where you are in relationship to what God's doing in America today because of what He did in the very beginning, then I encourage you to get back into prayer, get back into the Word, seek
absolutely
God's wisdom through the work of His Holy Spirit, and reflect on your own relationship with God and His Son Jesus. And if it is not where in your heart you know it needs to be, then on your knees at the foot of the cross, come to Christ again and invite Him into your heart and begin a wondrous new life that will bless you all to pieces and will enable you to have a strong, passionate, and powerful commitment to what God is doing through this nation today. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm preaching again. Sorry, Brenda. Hey, you know what? I see we're near break time. So why don't we take that little two-minute break, let people think and cogitate. Don't go too far because it's only 2 minutes.
Ruminate,
whatever you need to do, and we'll be back. What happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world.
God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
And we're back from that break, as swift as it was. Blessed to have Dr. Brenda McMenamin with us, a constitutional scholar. And if you've been now, if you've started in the beginning with us, you've heard a lot of great stuff about the founding of this nation, God's involvement in it. And we're going to continue with that. Ed had a comment, wanted to throw it in before Brenda picks up.
There's been such a resurgence in this country of interest in socialism and Marxism, and basically communism, without people realizing that their main goal is to destroy everything that Constitution gave us.
Yes,
I'm in the middle of a course right now on a an explanation of Marxism, socialism, communism. And the more I read on it, the more I hear the lectures on it, the more I understand that the people that originated that are the people that want to run the world.
Yeah.
And it's got nothing to do with the working man. They think that's how they present it. You know, we're here for you. We're going to make life better for you. No, I'm making life better for me by oppressing you.
Right.
By getting you. Everybody is equally broke except me. And we need to understand that.
Well, the history of socialism, Marxism, communism always starts out that way, Ed, and always ends that way, where a small group of people oppress the larger group of people, who are the ones that campaign for for that system to take over. Well,
one of the primary ways they do it is eliminate religion,
right?
Because then we have no hope.
Exactly. Then you have to hope in the state. Hope.
That's right.
You trust the state, man. They'll do everything for you. It sounds like big government.
Whoa, doesn't it?
Oh, man. Well, anyway, let's go back to Brenda. Pick up on that, if you will, and take us where you wanted to go.
As you're saying this, I think that it's the same spirit that the king had over the colonists, where he wanted to rule them.
Amen.
He wanted total control, and he was dissolving their houses of legislation. He was putting his soldiers in their homes. He was charging them with false charges and having their court cases in England or tried at sea. And so that's why when you had the 13 colonies, and they were 13 different colonies with 13 different ideas on how they should be governed, they were not really unified until the king persecuted them so much that they realized they had to hang together, or most assuredly they would hang separately, as Benjamin Franklin said. So when you look at the Declaration of Independence, and that second paragraph says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident."
Amen.
"All men are created equal." Right. So that's Galatians 3:28. There's neither Jew nor free, male nor female, slave nor free, we're all one in Christ. And when you look at Romans 13, and it talks about authority comes from God. So in a biblical worldview, government, even the rulers come under God's law. We're all equal.
Absolutely.
According to the Bible.
Yeah, Romans 13.
A lot of people translate Romans 13 to mean whoever you put in office has total authority.
No.
And then you get the Nazis in Germany. That's not what it meant.
Exactly.
And when you have that understanding, you realize that it's got to be the Christians that have an active role in policy setting, because we can't expect ungodly people to understand God's law and to make sure that the law is lawful. And so abortion is not legal because it's murder. But the ungodly think is that if the church has allowed that, if the church has allowed euthanasia and these different things that we're struggling with now, trafficking, and it's just unbelievable the floodgate that's come, but that's because the church has not held these truths that we're all created equal. And it says that they're endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. God gives us our rights. And if you change the word rights when you read all the original documents into responsibility, I think it carries more the biblical significance. It's not like we have the right to do things. No. God gives us duties. Yes. He gives us responsibilities. And so when you had the Great Awakening with Reverend George Whitfield, and you had the deep repentance and obedience, it's not like everyone was perfect, but they did realize their duty to obey God. And then it goes on that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that's in the Natural Rights of Colonists as Men by Samuel Adams. He also wrote the Natural Rights of the Colonists as Christians, and he says in there, these may be best understood by reading and carefully studying the institutes of the great lawgiver and head of the Christian church, which are to be found clearly written and promulgated in the New Testament.
Absolutely.
So this is one of our founding documents that goes before the Declaration of Independence that gives us such perspective and understanding that we absolutely were a nation that covenanted with God and with each other. Mm. So you see in the intro, they squarely are focused on our rights coming from God. We're all created equal. And then they list all those 27 grievances, which I just mentioned.
Right.
The 28th was actually to end slavery. Mm-hmm. And that was Thomas Jefferson when he, I think it was 27 years old when he came into the Virginia legislature, the first thing he did was introduce legislation to end slavery. And so we can mock that generation and blame them for letting it go so long, but we've had abortion now since 1973. Mm-hmm. So we're in as scary, I think even more of a scary position than they were in. And yet they gave us the example. Of course, it took civil war and a loss of hundreds of thousands of lives, but they worked together to end that. We need to do the same today. But then at the end, you see that they were, just like the examples I gave before, they were a covenant. They understood covenant, and they made covenant with God and with each other, where it says, we're appealing to the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, due in the name and the authority. Okay, so it goes through all this, and it's saying, for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of pledged to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
We might have lost. Brenda, are you still there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay, we're getting a little static interference. I think we're.
Do I need to repeat what I just said?
Yeah, would you? Yeah, we kind of
go. You're back now.
You're back now. Would you do that, please?
Okay. I think I was leaning against my mic. I'm not used to wearing it.
That may have been.
That's what it sounded like, yeah.
Okay, so did you hear me talk about the grievances?
Yes.
Okay, and ending abortion. And then they covenanted together. They appealed to the supreme judge of the world. So that was God. That was an appeal to God to help them. And that's when they made the appeal to heaven flag, which was based on John Locke's of civil government, where he said, you never have the right to come against your government, but if they come against you, you can defend yourself. And he said, if you've appealed to them, so that's what they were doing with these 27 grievances. They were appealing to the king over a 10-year period. We don't want your soldiers in our homes, messing up our homes and abusing our women. We don't want you setting up false court systems and carrying our people to England for justice. We don't want you to, we want trial by jury. We want the writ of habeas corpus. I mean, these were just basic rights that were afforded to people, starting with St. Patrick and King Alfred and, you know, through the ages, Reverend Stephen Langton. Mm-hmm. And so they were appealing to the king. And what's amazing is that at that time, you still had about a third of the people loyal to the king, the Tories. They were just going to go along to get along. You had about a third of the people that didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. And then you had a third of the people who really were convicted to do the right thing, to even defend themselves against the most mighty military power on earth at that time, for those yet unborn. And you can see how they appealed to the supreme judge of the world. And then at the very end, it says, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
Mm. And most of them that made that pledge lost all of that.
Yeah. Yep. They lost their lives. They lost their fortunes. Absolutely. They lost their families. They lost their businesses. A lot of them died in poverty. Yeah.
And that's the price for what we have today. Mm. That's one of the biggest part of the prices that we have today for what we have today.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's for the gospel.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, we can't forget that. And I think it's very, very important as we, on any major day that celebrates America, especially on 4th of July, to really reflect on everything that those who came before us gave up, including their lives, for the sake of the freedoms that we enjoy today. And more so, but here's the other thing, because yes, I'm living today. It's the only day I've got. In fact, the next minute, I don't have. Well, I got it now, but you know what I'm saying? But we have to be thinking beyond the moment. You know, God is the long view, and I believe He wants to impart a passion for His long view, that so we aren't just rooted in the moment and how we're feeling at the moment. It's very attractive sometimes for us to be rooted in time and not even contemplate the bigger picture. But part of what Brenda has been sharing with us today, while she's gone back in time to share the men and the movements and the words, but all of that brings us not just to this moment in time, not just to the 29th of June, 2026, at 11:43 and 30 seconds in the hour. More or less, yeah. But really, as we stand here, is to anticipate with great passion and joy that God's work continues, and we are a part of it, and we must look beyond the moment.
Yeah. That's so good. And the Holy Spirit put on my heart this morning Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people.
Amen.
And
amen.
I'm reading presently out of the Founders Bible by David Barton at Wall Builders. So he gives a scripture, you know, it's the Bible, but then in certain sections, it'll go into some of our history. So he's quoting from a very early Connecticut pastor, and he's saying concerning that scripture that I just read, righteousness exalts the nation, he says, to God and posterity, you are accountable for your rights and your rulers. Let not your children have reason to curse you for giving up those rights and prostrating these institutions which your father delivered to you. So we have our forefathers, our founding fathers, but between that time and this time, you know, I'm a baby of the baby boomers. I know a lot of people really disparage the baby boomers for not doing enough. But we still have the next generation, and it is the older generation that can still take the time to educate ourselves and educate the younger ones, especially, you know, the moms and the dads, they're busy raising their children. But the grandparents, we can educate ourselves. And so this is one thing that I'm actively doing, is offering an American government class that's grounded in the biblical worldview, the history, and then the original intent of the Constitution based on the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers. And so it just makes it fascinating, because it's not names and dates and that you have to memorize and memory dump. That's what, how most of us learned history.
I hated it
in high school. But when you find out what God did and you find out how the founders reasoned biblically, it makes it fascinating.
It truly
not
is.
Not only that, but then the original intent, like when you go to the 1828 dictionary, so that's the dictionary that Noah Webster published at the height of when our country reasoned biblically, and you look up the word government, it starts with the word self-government, and it defines family government. Then it talks about civil government as by an established constitution or by arbitrary edicts. We've started out with this constitution that's very, very tiny, can fit in your back pocket, to something that's bigger than most huge dictionaries. And that version doesn't give us liberty. It takes away our liberty.
Exactly. You know, at this point, I'd like to remind our listeners that Brenda McMenamin, being a constitutional scholar, and she has a website, teachinghisstory.com. And I love that, how you put that up, his being God, right? Teachinghisstory.com. And on the website, you can see all of the courses that she offers. And I would encourage you, listener, if up to this point you've been intrigued to any degree by what's being discussed, and maybe at the same time what's being discussed has shed a light on certain places where you're no longer comfortably being ignorant about the founding of our land and God's involvement in that and all that comes from that, I would encourage you to go to her website and look prayerfully at what's being offered and see if maybe you want to participate and take some of those courses. I think that's exciting.
This is a quote from Patrick Henry that I loved. He says, whether this American Revolution will prove a blessing or curse will depend on the youth of our people make of the blessing which a gracious God has bestowed on us. If they're wise, they'll be great and happy. If they are of a contrary character, they will be miserable. Righteousness alone can exalt them as a nation. Reader, whoever thou art, remember this, and in thy sphere, practice virtue thyself and encourage it in others.
Wow. There's a lot of substance in that. A
lot of substance.
Wow.
It kind of sums up everything that we've been saying, though, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Yeah, exactly.
Including some way of diagnosing our current situation with the younger generation. That it wasn't passed on.
Yeah.
A lot was not passed on.
Well, if you notice, the younger generation are the ones that are embracing all of these forms of government outside of democracy and being a republic. They're the ones that are embracing the socialism and the communism.
They are,
You know, Khrushchev years ago in the UN beat his shoe on the table, and he said, I am going to take out your country. I'm going to bring in communism, but not right away. I'm doing it through your youth.
Yeah.
And he did that.
I must say, though, that there is a contrast, because if people have noticed, for the last 5 years especially, a great intensity in revival on the college campuses.
Amen. Amen.
And God knows what he's doing. Obviously, he knows what he's doing.
Amen.
But to say that over and against what we're just now talking, seeing so many young people of college age, not all of them in college, but protesting in the streets,
yeah.
protesting for socialism and all that goes with that.
Yeah.
But yet we see the hand of God and increasingly on the college campuses reviving that age group. And it's not communicated in the liberal through the liberal news media.
Of course not.
But as they wouldn't do that because it's God's work.
Yeah.
So, but it is happening, and I'm encouraged by that. I don't know, Brenda, do you have any thoughts about that?
Oh, I do, because I get to work a lot with Turning Point. I was on a team that was sponsoring one of its outreaches in, must have been 2012, I believe, down in West Palm. And so we saw a lot of the young people, and I got to ask them why they were there. And I thought, well, were they homeschooled? Did they go to private school? And a lot of them were. But some of them would look me in the eye and they'd say, I just realized that I was being lied to.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? And to me, that's just the Holy Spirit is opening
Absolutely.
The eyes of these young people. So I got to teach at a Turning Point event in Chicago just several weeks ago. And there was a whole, they have what they call a prep year now that is 9 months. And so they had the first graduating class serving there as interns. And these young adults were so humble and so polite and so well-educated and well-spoken. And they were there to serve. Every time I came down to the lobby, two or three of them would be around me immediately to help. And we have a chapter here that my grandson is the vice president, and then his friend is the president, and they're helping some of the other chapters because some of these young people have been threatened to their face.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. With death threats, some of them, if they open up a chapter. And yet it's Turning Point that's teaching them their history, connecting them with leadership opportunities, getting them involved in politics. And so it's a wonderful thing that God's doing, just raising them up. And so I get to kind of see what God's doing. One of the speakers there was George Barna, which I knew that he did the polls, but I didn't really know what a absolute solid biblical worldview man of God he was. And so he was giving us the stats and explaining that a lot of the pastors don't have a biblical worldview. Most
True.
Of the seminaries are Marxist. And so if a man Absolutely. Says, oh, I want to serve God with all my heart, he's going to a seminary, usually. And he doesn't know that the indoctrination is there at its worst. So they're coming out thinking like Marxists. We all kind of are thinking like Marxists because it was 1963 that the communists put their 45 goals in the congressional record.
Mm-hmm.
44 out of those 45 goals have been achieved.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, man.
A lot of them are targeting the schools. They
yep.
say that blatantly. And that's what you were referring to, Ed. They said they weren't going to do it by revolution. Wait, what is it? No. But by evolution.
Evolution.
So they were
yeah.
going to take yep. more time yep. and they were going to do it through the schools. And that's
yep.
exactly
yep.
what they've done. So once we realize that, then we realize our battle is number one, renewing our minds, reading
yes.
the Bible. And if you can read it through from cover to cover once a year, because we have to be able to rightly divide the word and get, you know,
Absolutely.
What does God love? What does God hate? How do I need to line my life up with his word? What do I need to give up? What do I need to start doing? It's quite a transformation. But so that's step one, is letting God really work in every area of our life. But then step two is learning, you know, that's serving God. Then how do we serve man? How can we set policy to honor God and really help each other? Not like you're saying, that utopian form of Marxist or dominant control or socialism or whatever they want to call it. There's several different ways they do that and call it by different names, but they're all antichrist.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very much so. And there's a.
I have one more quote I'd like to share.
Oh,
this
please
one's
do.
From one of my favorite reformers, Frederick Douglass. So he was the counselor to five different presidents after he escaped from slavery and was discipled. He says, I have one great political idea. That idea is an old one. It is wisely and generally assented to. Nevertheless, it is generally trampled upon and disregarded. The best expression of it I have found in the Bible. It is in substance. Righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. Sir, this constitutes my politics.
Amen.
Wow.
Isn't that good?
And
that
so
that
super.
Goes back to the same scripture that Reverend Thomas Hooker used in the 1600s, Exodus 18:21, where Jethro gives the advice to Moses, and then we see that Moses took that advice, and we see that Reverend Thomas Hooker taught his men, you choose men that are four things, able, fear God, love truth, and hate covetousness. So if pastors taught their people, go get registered to vote and vote only for men that are able, that fear God, love truth, hate covetousness, pastors don't have to run for office. They don't have to tell them exactly how to vote, but they do have to teach the Bible as it applies to our civic responsibilities.
Amen. Yes.
So that's what I teach in American government, and I'm here to serve. There are a lot of candidates that have run or even representatives that have taken my classes to get, they told me, I want to get a biblical worldview. So I'm just here to serve and speed along the process that's taken me 40 years.
Hallelujah.
To learn, just so that I can help people save our nation.
Well, I'm grateful. Our time is almost up, but I want to say, you know, before we have to sign off, that just again, my appreciation for, well, I'll say, because Ed's here too, and I know he agrees with me that your being with us today has been a great blessing. And I want to thank you for taking out the time. Now, this, listeners, Dr. McMenamin is a very busy person. She has a lot going on, a lot of balls in the air, and so for her to take out an hour of her time to share with us, that's a gift to us. And I want to thank you, Brenda, for doing that.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You guys encourage me so much, and your bravery to stand on the biblical worldview of different issues so that we're really glorifying God is such an encouragement to me. So if people are interested in any of my work, please do go to teachinghisstory.com. And I would recommend, because I need to update my website. I'm so sorry. I've been working so hard in the business. I haven't been able to spend much time working on the business. But if you go to the blog page and you scroll down just a little bit on the blog page, there's a page that says, Welcome to Teaching His Story. That has the courses that are coming up in the fall and for the rest of the year. And one of those is the American government class. I'm also teaching economics, because economic policy determines public policy.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I hope people are encouraged and they'll look into that, Brenda.
Amen. Yeah.
Thankful. And
thank you.
So anyway, and by the way, don't hang up when we sign off. I want to say goodbye to you. But to our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. I know this has been beneficial for those who are able to track. If for some reason you tuned in halfway through or at any point beyond the beginning of the program, you can go to our website, WCNO.com, on the top of the page. There's a blue oval with white lettering. It says archive, I think, and on demand. You can catch this program after we're off the air. The computer will throw it in there and listen to the whole thing. You can even download it, take it with you, and listen to it throughout the day, or maybe several times. At any rate, we must say goodbye. Thank you for listening. God bless you all. We'll be back next week. Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front lines.